Welcome to another message from LifePoint Church, located in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information, please go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now, here is today's message.
Hey everybody, thank you so much for joining us for our online service today. We're glad that you have taken the time to be a part of what God is wanting to speak to you today. And I am so excited for the service today as we have a special guest with us. Scotty Gibbons is a pastor down at the People's Church in Oklahoma City. I know Scotty from way back in our Bible college days. We served in his youth ministry at James River Assembly, and he invested in our lives, in Robin and I's lives, so many different ways. He's an incredible man of God, an incredible communicator, and he's bringing forth the Word of God this morning to share with us. You will enjoy it. Lean in, be ready for God to speak to you this morning, and I want to welcome my good friend, Scotty Gibbons.
Hello, LifePoint Church. My name is Scotty Gibbons, and I'm excited to be able to come to you today on Church Online via this video. And before we jump into the Word of God today, I just want to say what a treat it is to be partnering with my friend from years and years and years ago, Pastor Steve Rains. Pastor Steve and Robin are dear friends of mine, and I've been wanting to come and just be a part of their ministry for a long time now, since they've been pastoring there with you guys. And man, we thought it was going to happen this time, but coronavirus had a different plan. But listen, God still has a plan for this, so we're rolling with it. But I do have something on my heart that I want to share with you today that I pray encourages you. So let's jump into the Word of God together. I want to read a passage of scripture to you out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And this is the story of King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, who really, up until just in the days preceding what we're about to read in chapter 20, he had been leading the people in a time of spiritual reformation. So he personally was experiencing just a new level of devotion to the Lord, and was leading the people along those same lines. And is in the middle of that, the attempt to do what is right, the attempt to honor God, that it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1, it says, after this, that the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Munites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. So I just want you to notice there that it wasn't because he was doing something wrong, or that the people were in a time of rebellion, that this problem occurred. But isn't it interesting how you and I can be going through life and in our seasons of trying to do the best thing, the right thing, that it seems like, man, I was starting 2020 off in the right way. I was trying to be committed to church. I was trying to be faithful in my giving. I was trying to serve, you know, whatever it is. And then unexpectedly, out of nowhere, here comes the coronavirus, you know, or here comes some type of physical challenge, or some type of relational conflict, or some type of just family-related, work-related trial, whatever it would be. Well, for Jehoshaphat, his problem was there was this coalition coming against him, these three armies that united to come against him. And so it says in verse 2 that some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you. I mean, that was the word that he got. That was the description of it. It's this vast army. When you read down through chapter 20, it's kind of interesting when you do. It doesn't just say that vast army once. It doesn't just say it twice. It doesn't just say it three times. It says it over and over that this is a vast army. Really, what I believe God's trying to communicate to us in this situation for Jehoshaphat is that he was facing an insurmountable problem. He was facing something that, you know what, it would not have worked for him to look at that and say, okay, a vast army is coming against me. Let's get our army and go out and we'll just take care of business. His mind did not go to that as an option. His mind didn't go to, okay, what are we going to do? Because, man, we need some, anybody in our group know karate? Anybody, we have any ninjas in our group? Anybody have a new gun that they could use? His mind didn't go there because he just knew it wouldn't help. He didn't start counting his fighting men. He didn't start evaluating their ability, their capacity, because this was clear. Jehoshaphat, this is out of your hands. This is over your head. This is impossible for you to take care of. There's no way out. What would that mean for him? That would mean not only that for him as a king, that his people were about to be invaded. That'd be enough to unnerve you, make you concerned. But he's also thinking, this means the destruction of my army. Like, we're not going to win. We don't stand a chance. This vast army, massive army. One army, one-on-one, maybe we got a shot. Two-on-one, man, odds are not good, but hey, let's go down swinging. Three-on-one, this is over before it ever starts. But then think about the personal level, too. It's not just his kingdom, if you will, that he was thinking about, but his own family, his own children. He's thinking, we're about to be attacked, destroyed, we're about to be annihilated. And that's what Jehoshaphat was up against. And it says that his response was, in verse 3, it says, alarmed Jehoshaphat, alarmed Jehoshaphat, resolved to inquire of the Lord. So his first just natural response was one of fear, which is normal for all of us when times are scary, when times are challenging, when times are uncertain, or when we are certain that this doesn't look good. It's natural for us to have as a first reaction just the emotion of fear. But while Jehoshaphat started there, he didn't stay there, nor should you or I. It says, alarmed Jehoshaphat inquired of the Lord. So he prayed. And I would just encourage you in the season that we're in right now with everything that's going on in our world, politically, economically, health-wise, I mean, whatever it be, there are all of these things that would just go, man, is my job secure? Am I going to get laid off? I've already lost my job, or they're cutting my hours, or whatever it would be. In the midst of all of that uncertainty, even though you might feel some emotions of concern or fear or worry, whatever it would be, I would encourage you to choose prayer over panic. Like, that's what Jehoshaphat did. Yes, he's feeling this fear, but he resolved to inquire of the Lord. Where do you run? Where do you go when life gets scary? And I can just tell you, if you go anywhere other than to the Lord, you continue to run to things that maybe, maybe not. You run to things that are like possibly, but not definitely. You run to things that just cannot anchor you, cannot cover you, cannot shelter you, like only the hand of God can do in your life. Where do you run? I'm not saying that you don't try to keep your job or get your job or get a new job or work on your relationship with your husband or with your wife. No, we can all do practical things, but I'm talking about at the core of who we are when life throws us a curveball or a 150 mile an hour fastball and is coming at us. What do you do? Jehoshaphat chose in his situation to go with prayer over panic. I love what happens as you continue down through that. I love the humility and the dependency of the Lord that he offered up, because when you come down to verse 12, it's really kind of an interesting thing. I just love the way this verse is worded. In verse 12, he's praying. He says, "O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us." And listen to this part. I love this right here. It says, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." You know what? I just think that that's just not a cool verse that has a nice ring to it. I think that that's a statement of desperation that delights the heart of God. God, I don't know what to do with this situation. God, I see no way out. God, this feels overwhelming. God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. What if you chose to pray instead of panic, to look to the Lord? And this whole chapter is filled with so many wonderful things that really model for us how we should respond in difficult times. But I just want to draw your attention to the next thing, not only prayer over panic, but how he puts his eyes on the Lord, he inquires to resolve of the Lord, but then he leads the people to worship. really you see his prayer in verses 5 and 6 and following. And then you get down to verse 13, and as he's now moving his people towards a place of action, because God was setting them up not for them to go and fight, but to position themselves to see the Lord's deliverance. Sometimes we have action steps that we can take, trim the budget. We have action steps that we can take, go apply for a job. We have action steps that we can take, work on that relationship. We can certainly do some things. In this case, what God is teaching us through Jehoshaphat, there are some times to where you look at it and go, all I know to do is to pray and to choose faith over fear. Like as he's talking down through this, he's reminding God, not as if God's forgotten, but he's really reminding his own heart when he's reminding God of who God is. And what he's doing by that step of praying is that he's exercising faith over fear and saying, God, you're able. God, you're faithful. What if you and I did that in times of difficulty? God, I remember what your word says about this. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. God, I remember what your word says right here. You'll never allow us to carry more than we can handle with your help. In other words, he's never going to overwhelm you to where he's going to allow trials to crush you. No, he's taught us over and over again, God, your grace is sufficient. That's what it means to choose faith over fear. It means that you recount it even in your own life. God, I remember last year when we were going through a difficult time as a family, how we didn't know what to do there, but you helped us. You sustained us. He chose prayer over panic. He chose faith over fear. And so what happened was they began to move out as an army, not thinking, hey, we got this thing licked. We're going to go and do this. But because God had said, I want you to go up. I want you to position yourselves so that you can see what I'm going to do. Listen to what it says in verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. So this is the man of God, the prophet, speaking to Jehoshaphat and giving direction. He says, listen, O king, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I think that there's somebody watching this today online that you just need to hear that and receive that word from the Lord. That word right there can carry you, can sustain you, can encourage you. The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. God's going to take care of you. As you look to him, as you choose faith over fear and prayer over panic, God's going to take care of you. He's going to sustain you in a way that only God can. And so he goes on to speak to them and challenging them. And look at Jehoshaphat's response in verse 18. It says, Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. They chose prayer over panic. They chose faith over fear. And they chose to worship over worry. Can I encourage you to do that during this season? You have a choice if you're just going to be all uptight, if you're going to be anxious, if you're going to live in fear, if you're going to start now acting out in fear, just reacting to daily tensions out of fear, out of anxiety, and now all of a sudden there's stress in the home and there's fighting between couples, or man, we're not parenting the way that we should. Some of us have our kids at home, you know, more than we're used to because they can't go to this activity or this school event or whatever. And you may be feeling just some of that pressure. Listen, you can choose to respond that way, be filled with just worry and fretting and frustration, or you can choose to worship. Jehoshaphat chose worship over worry. And that's a good move because worry never works. Worry doesn't make anything any better. Worry does not bring one single solution to your situation. Worry never works. Worry never wins. Worship always does. You say, well, man, what, you're making it sound like if I just sing a song, everything's happily ever after. Now, when we're talking about worshiping God, what we're saying is we are putting our eyes on the only one who can help us, as we turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full into his wonderful face, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. You've maybe even heard that old chorus before, but there's a lot of truth to it, that when I put my eyes on God, it puts my life in perspective. So not only does that just change my attitude and my outlook, but when I'm worshiping the Lord, what does the Bible say? It says that he inhabits the praises of his people. It says that God is enthroned on the praises of his people. What is that teaching us? That when I begin to worship God, I've just invited God's presence and God's power and God's strength into my situation. So why don't you choose to do that as an individual? Why don't you do that as a family? Hey group, we're going to pray. We're going to choose faith. We're going to worship God. And you watch and see if God can't step in and help you in a way that only he can. Well, I don't know where you are in your journey with Jesus. I don't know what all God may be doing in your life, but if you've yet to make him Lord of your heart, or maybe at one point you were serving him, but you've gotten off track and you need to recommit your life to Christ, I want to give you a chance to do that right here and right now. I just want to pray with you. And if you need to make that decision to follow Christ or to come back to him, you just pray this prayer with me. Really, it's not my prayer, it's your prayer, but I'm just praying with you. And so you would pray something along these lines. Let's pray it together. Dear God, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for not giving up on me as I've gone my own way. Thank you for not leaving me or abandoning me. Today, I want to commit my life to you. I want to confess you as my Lord. I want to ask you to forgive me of my sin. I want you to be the King of my heart. I today decide to follow Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, I'm so excited for you if you just prayed that prayer. And I just want to encourage you, keep being the church. Not only because you just prayed that prayer, or you prayed it before today, and now all of us watching this together, man, we're just making the assumption you have Jesus in your heart. Now go be the church. Keep being the church. Keep serving the church. This is not an hour when the church shrinks back. We don't operate in fear or worry or panic like those around us. Man, where the night is the darkest, the light is the brightest, this is the church's finest hour. This is where we show the distinction from those who don't believe in a God and those who do. So I want to encourage you, follow him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let's serve the Lord together and watch how God continues to build his church. In Jesus' name, amen.
This concludes today's message. Thank you for listening. We're looking forward to connecting with you very soon.